Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Bitterman. That's a 12 Tower Fox Tower Southern Congress. I'm the Elgin Patriot. Today is June 6, 2025, or the city in 12-20-29. We're going to start our sugar service today. Put us on with a prayer, and we're going to go right on into two timely greetings, number 37. Part 2, entitled Statues. Okay. It says, the name of it is actually History and Prophecies, Commandments, Statues, and the Bible. This is Part 2. Deuteronomy 25:4-13-16. Thou shalt not muzzle the ox when he treadeth out the corn. Thou shalt not have in thy bag thou his race, a great and a small, but thou shalt have a perfect and just width, a perfect and just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which Yahweh thy giveth thee. For all that do such things, and all that do unrighteously, are an abomination unto the Yahweh. Deuteronomy 27:17-21:24-26. Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that smiteth his neighbor secretly. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do to them. And all the people shall say, Amen. Deuteronomy 28:1-4, 15-22, 27-35. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently and to the voice of Yahweh, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Yahweh, thy Yahweh, will sit thee on high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of Yahweh thy Yahweh. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say Amen. Deuteronomy 28:1-4 and 6:15-22:27-35. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Yahweh, thy Yahweh, for the observing and for the doing all this commandment, which I command thee this day, that the Yahweh, thy Father, will sit thee on high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Yahweh thy Father. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of the kine and the flock of the sheep. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. But it shall come to pass that thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Yahweh thy Father, who is there to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field, cursed shalt thou be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. For the Yahweh shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke, and all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doing, whereby thou hast forsaken me. For the Yahweh shall make, for the Yahweh shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he hath consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. For the Yahweh shall smite thee with a consumption, and with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with the sword, and with the blasting, and with the mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. For the Yahweh will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the emerald, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. For the Yahweh shall smite thee in the knees, and in the legs, with a sore botch that cannot be healed from the sole of thy foot and to the top of thy head. These verses need no comment, for the requirements are plain unto all. Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. 1 John 1, 4, and 6. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is a message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that the Yahweh is light. Let's do that again. And the light, and declare unto you that the Yahweh is in the light and with the light, and in him is no darkness at all. For if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not the truth. James 2, 19 and 20. Thou believest that there is one Yahweh, that thou didst well. For the devil also believes and trembles. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that the faith and the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua without works is dead? For you obeying all of the commandments and the statutes and the judgments of the moral law along with the ceremonial laws of the Moses, you see, is your evidence that you have been born again. that she had been endowed with the power from above, that you are able to choose the good and to refuse the evil, that you are the children of the Yahweh, keeping the commandments and the statutes and the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, of course that's his statutes in the sanctuary, then is the light and shield of your life. It is the outward sign that by the life of Yahshua you have overcome the enemy of your soul and body. This system of the worship, therefore, is truly the righteousness by the faith and the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua that brings the righteousness of the Yahshua and the people of the Yahweh. Let us now, with ears wide open, hear the cry of the bell, Isaiah 52:1-7. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings and publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy Yahweh reigneth. Nahum 1:15. Behold, upon the mountain, the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. O Judah, keep thy solemn faith, perform thy vows, for the wicked shall no more pass through than he is utterly cut off. Hear the prophetic word of Yahweh plainly declares by both Isaiah and Nahum, the prophets, that when we see these good tidings published by him, whose feet are seen upon the mountains, and this is now taking place for the first time since the prophet wrote, it is to be a sign that the wicked, the violators of the laws of Moses, are soon to be cut off from among Yahweh's people. And now, since you are privy to hear all these things, happy are ye, says Yahweh, if you do them. John 13:17. For the summary of our study, it will have you seriously look at this illustration. Look at the store. Look at it. Store it in your mind and study it at your leisure. Yes, be convinced of the truth which I have tried to explain unto you, for it is your life, your prosperity, your health and happiness, your eternity. End of Taylor Thomas Greetings number 37. We got plenty of time. So let us see that we got about, come on, we have 47 minutes to go in this hour. So we'll go to number 38. Sunday Greetings, Volume 2, Yerushi Hala. We'll go to text for prayer. We'll just go right on into the sermon entitled Fundamental Principles of the Education. And this is a text of address, September 8, 1946. Proverbs 22:3-6:10-15. For a prudent man foresees the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. that the rod of the correction shall drive it far from him. For wise men look ahead. They are careful to ensure their children's future. This they do by instilling in their children's heaven-born principles upon which the children can successfully build their life's career. Upon whatsoever foundation the parents start them building, that is the only one they can ever build on. A poor foundation will forever keep them back from anything superior unto what the foundation itself will permit, be it in the line of religion or a trade. Parents should be aware when the children reach their teens, they become more or less independent, responsible unto themselves, for they dance, so to speak, according unto their own music. How important then that they beforehand possess the knowledge essential to carry them safely through those 10 years. To begin with, they should religiously be taught good morals, the value of time, how to obtain results in a given amount of time. They should be fully warned of the baleful results of the wasted minutes. Indeed, they should be led to realize that the aggregate minutes and hours put to good use and the knowledge gained during their teens will shape their entire lives. They should know that the moment of their teens years are the most important moments in their whole lives, and that once wasted, they are forever gone. For the children most certainly need to know those things before they enter their teens. These fundamental principles are even more realistically seen when one takes into the consideration that habits are altogether too easy to form, but practically impossible to eradicate. This is why children are what their parents made them. Moreover, boys and girls in their teens have greater energy than at any time thereafter, and they can therefore accomplish more during those years than they can later in an equal length of time in the same field of the endeavor and experience. There is no doubt that the teenage of any child is the most crucial. Also, as I said before, parents should not wait until the crisis arrives, but should long before start to head it off. To do this, the parents must early in the child's life determine what the child's natural aptitude is, so that they can have him on time decide what his trade or profession is to be. Or they should have him set his goal and then create in him a zeal to reach it. Those who have no goal have nothing to work toward. They are floating as a raft in the ocean, and their goings are as aimless as that of a butterfly. That have a goal to strive toward, and who incessantly keep at it, are getting there, and they are bound to turn the time of the mischief into profit. But children should also be taught the value of the dollar, rather than be allowed to get into the habit of spending every penny they get a hold of. They should be educated to save as much as possible once they have had a taste of starting a saving account, even though it be less than a dollar to start with. They will anxiously continue in this way. Saving will become to them an exciting habit. Children who are not taught to earn and to save, and yet finally make something of themselves, do not do it because of their parents, but in spite of them. There are thousands of people, some in every community, who have no idea how to handle money or how to manage a home. These unfortunate, regardless of how much they make, never have anything for a rainy day. For they are always poor and always in debt, always expecting charity from somewhere. Teach your children never to purchase anything for which they do not have the full price in advance, and even then only if they absolutely need the article. Anything purchased on time, payments cost more, and that means a sure thing and more work and a harder time for the purchaser, many cases, part of the payments are not carried out, and as a result, the articles go back to the original owners, and such an eventuation, the purchaser suffers a total loss of his entire investment, uncalled for. This wrecks hundreds of homes each year. Parents should, by the precept and example, educate their children against such a pocket-breaking and home-wrecking habit. Those who talk over their problems with others often receive helpful suggestions and light on their path. Thereby, they avoid a loss and embarrassment. To continue our study, I shall now read from Deuteronomy 11, 13, and 28. Okay, we're going to go right on into two times readings, number 38. It's a text of evidence that will be held September the 8th, 1946. And it's entitled Fundamental Principles of the Education, Deuteronomy 11, 13 to 28. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Yahweh your Father, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land and his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thy oil, and I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed unto yourself, that your heart be not deceived and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them, and then the Yahweh God wrath eternal against you, and he shut up the heaven that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, and lest she perish quickly from off the good land which Yahweh giveth to. Therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as a furnace between your eyes, and you shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house, and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which Yahweh swore unto your fathers to give them as the days of the heaven on the earth. For if you shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do them, to love the Yahweh your Yahweh, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him, then will the Yahweh drive out all these nations from before you, and you shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourself. Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. There shall no man be able to stand before you, for Yahweh your Father shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all of the land that you shall tread upon, as he has said unto you. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yahweh your Father, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Yahweh your Yahweh, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other gods which you have not known. Now let us connect this scripture with Deuteronomy 21:18-21. If a man had a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his palace, and they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious, he will not obey our voice, he is a glutton and a drunkard, and all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shall thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall are here in fear. I hardly think these words require any interpretation, for they are written as explicitly as any good writer every day could write them. In fact, I believe they are written much clearer than we could ever write them. You see, long ago, way back in the ancient time, Yahweh made known his commandments and his laws. He promised that if his people were obedient, he would make of them a great nation, that they would possess nations greater and mightier than themselves, and that all nations would fear them. He plainly told them, though, that if they would not obey, then curses would inevitably be their lot. He charged them to raise obedient children. Their parents were commanded to bring them to the elders if they themselves could not make their children obey, and the elders were to stone them. The reason given was that all Israel may hear and fear and depart from evil. Having this punishment in view, they were very careful how they brought up their little ones. If we were living in the time of the Yahweh, that the Yahweh thus commanded his people in the days of the Moses, we would not know whether the Yahweh sure actually meant business or whether he was just talking. But since centuries have passed by, the results of the ancient Israel's disobedience, we can see that the Yahweh meant nothing but business. Yes, ever since the Jews as a nation disobeyed, they have been kicked from pillar to post, and now in the last 5 years alone, millions of them have been slaughtered. Even in this day and age, there is no room for them anywhere in the world. There is room for everyone but for the Jews, and it is plain to see why. They could have been the greatest nation on earth, but now they are not a nation at all. Instead, they are but a football for every foot to try. They wanted to be like the nations around them, and the nations have ever since kicked them from one mud hole into another. We now see that the Yahweh was not bluffing. He meant just what he said. And what he said to the Jews then, he is saying unto us today. It is we, not the Jews, who have now a choice to make. We may choose to be like the world and be driven into hell with it, or we may choose to do what the Yahweh commands and thus be with him in his kingdom. One of these choices we must now immediately make. I do not think that we are ignorant of what is right and what is wrong. Most of us have studied the Bible all our lives and had a fairly good idea of what it teaches. What we need to do this evening then is to decide whether we are as a unit to do what the inspiration teaches, or whether we are to try to do so as individual. You tell us what to do in the matter of the discipline. Shall each individual do as he sees fit, or shall we have a standard by which all of us may be governed? Are we going to decide what to do and do it, or are we to decide and never do what we decide? For the most immediate concerns are these: how shall we run the school, and how shall we dress the children and ourselves? Shall we dress like the pro-progressive Christian, or shall we dress like progressive Walling? Shall we be quarreling about it, or shall we all see a lot? Congregation, we ought all to see a lot. Shall we then have a standard to go by? Congregation, yes. What are we to do then with the boys and the girls who may be disrespectful, disobedient, and who do not mind their parents and their teachers? Shall we leave that to the children to decide, or shall we do what the Bible demands, that the children be disciplined at home? And if that does not work, then they be brought to the elders to be dismissed from the school and from the congregation, or all the parents to go with them. Anciently, the actual stone the rebellious servant. This they did because the church could not possibly keep the disobedient in its midst, and the surrounding nation would not have aliens, and consequently there was nothing left to do but to stone them. Today, though, they can be dismissed, and when they come to their senses, they might return. For the parents are duty bound to see that their boys and girls are trained to obey, that they respect their parents, the elders, and everybody in the community, and that they assess no one. How old must the children be before they are left on their own to do as they choose? As long as the children are in their parents' house, they are to be under the control of their parents. If we are to have a standard, we must all be together on it. And if the children know that we mean business, that they cannot get by, they will not try to put anything over on anyone. Most children, though, have really been trained to be disobedient. How can this be? Well, from the time the children are mere babies, the parents let them have their own ways to be again with. The children say yes, the parents say no. Then the trouble starts. The children win the argument by crying. Then if it does not work, they get results by stamping their feet on the pillow. As they grow older, they discover new ways to demand and get what they want, by thus permitting their children to beat them in the game. Parents actually train their offspring to be disobedient, disrespectful. That is why children are just what parents make them. Never let a child have his way against yours. and you will never have trouble with them. Whatever it is found impossible to change, the mind learns to recognize and adapt itself to education, page 29. The youth, the boys and girls, all pledge to renounce the world and to be all of the, out for the Yahshua. Do you determine not to compromise with evil or worldly practices? Do you determine to make the home, the school, and the church a success? To influence other boys and girls in the right direction? If not, we now warn you that you will be expelled from the school and from the place. If there are any who cannot give us a wholehearted answer, it will be better for you to pull out now and go to the city and to the public school. We are not fooling. Today we mean business, just as he meant business anciently. If you think this rule too rigid for you, say so now. Number two, do you boys and girls promise to obey your parents and your teachers and not to talk back to anyone? And do you adults promise to do your level best to help the young? Or do you agree not to take your complaints about the children or youth to anyone but to their own parents? All young and old, raise their hands in the consent. Do you not think that Advent truth believers should be dressed modestly, attractively, and commendable in the harmony with the religion of Yeshua, so as to influence beholders to copy after them, not to turn away in disgust? Congregation, yes! Number seven, our dress standards for women and girls, men and boys are established from this viewpoint. And remember, you have now promised to put them into practice. It is well to observe that there is no record that anyone had occasion from the manner in which I should dress to speak either for or against him. This shows that he was not extremist or an extremist. Besides, his garments must have been well worth having, else his enemies would not have cared to cast lots for them. For this very same principle should govern our own manner of dressing. We should so dress as to be remembered, not for wearing a trinket of some kind, trimming color, or the like, but remembered for being well dressed, with attention called to no one thing in particular. Also, all this ought to be such that the very coarse will not feel out of place in our presence, and that the richest will not feel ashamed in our company. For the sum of the whole matter, in a nutshell, is this, that we adorn ourselves with nothing for pride or display, but for the respect and modesty Okay, here's a subtitle. Advanced Christian Standards of Address for Women and Girls. Dresses. Material. They ought to be of a good quality, durable, and appropriate for the climate and occupation of the individual. Nothing gaudy or extreme. Sheer materials and large showy prints are taboo. Colors. Colors are to be becoming to the individual. Color combinations should harmonize and not be showy or sporty. Oh, let's go, let's just skip over a lot of this and go to the end of our study on this. Pretty well down to the end of it. It says, simplicity in dress. We'll read that part. In this, in his Sermon on the Mount, Yahshua exhorts his followers not to allow their minds to be absorbed in the earthly things. For he plainly says, you cannot serve Yahweh and Mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for you, for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than the raiment? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. These words are full of their meaning. They were applicable in the days of Yahshua, and they are applicable in our days. But Yahshua here contrasts the natural with the simplicity of the flowers of the field, with the artificial adorning of the raiment. He declares that the glory of the Solomon could not bear comparison with one of the flowers and the natural loveliness. There is a lesson for all who desire to know and to do the will of Yahweh. Yahshua has noticed the care and devotion given to dress, and has cautioned, yea, commanded us not to bestow too much thought upon it. It is important that we give careful heed to his words. Solomon was so engrossed with the thought of the outward display that he failed to elevate his mind by a constant connection with the Yahweh of wisdom. Perfection and beauty of the character were overlooked in his attempt to obtain outward beauty. He sold his honor and integrity of the character and the seeking to glorify himself before the world, and finally became a despot, supporting his extravagance by a grinding taxation upon the people. He first became corrupt at heart, then he apostatized from Yahweh, and finally became a worshiper of idols. As we see our sisters departing from the simplicity in the dress and cultivating a love for the fashions of the world, we feel troubled by taking steps in this direction, for they are separating themselves from the Yahweh and neglecting the inward adorning. They should not feel at liberty to spend the Yahweh given a time in the unnecessary ornamentation of their clothing, how much better might it be employed in the searching of the scriptures, thus obtaining a thorough knowledge of the prophecies and of the practical lessons of the Asherah. Asherah is our example. We must keep the pattern continually before us and contemplate the infinite sacrifice which has been made to redeem us from the problem of sin. If we find ourselves condemned as we look into the mirror, it is not ventured further in the transgression, but face right about and wash our robes of the character and the blood of the Lamb, that they may be spotless. Let us cry as did the David, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Those unto whom Yahweh has entrusted time and name, that they might be a blessing to humanity, but who have squandered these gifts needlessly upon themselves and their children, will have a fearful account to meet at the bar of Yahweh. Those among Sabbath keepers who have yielded to the influence of the world are to be tested. The pearls of the last days are upon us, and a trial is before the professed people of Yahweh, which may have not anticipated the genuineness of their faith, will be proved. Many have united with the willing in pride, vanity, and pleasure seeking, flattering themselves that they could do this and still be Christian, but it is such indulgence that separates them from Yahweh and makes them children of the world. Asherah has given us no such example. Those only who deny self and live a life of sobriety, humility, and holiness are true followers of Yahshua, and such cannot endure the society of the lovers of the world. Testimony for the Church, Volume 4, page 628, 629, 632, and 673. To maintain the health of her family and to find the time to figure out what to cook for them is every homemaker's aim and problem, day after day. And so, homemakers, why not let the entering wedge and the cookbook solve these problems for you? These two books aggregate 170 pages and contains invaluable information on health and cooking. This brings in about study this hour contact just at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We won't close now this hour.